In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. Well, what reason is that? It seems to have taken St. Paul a little time to get it all together, to say what he wanted to say. 14 verses earlier, at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3, he had begun with the same words, "for this reason." But then he had continued with parenthetical remarks in which he reviewed virtually all the mysteries of salvation, and now he begins again, "for this reason." And even now, when we hear the words, we have to bear in mind that something that has gone before is the reason for which he says what he is about to say. And what has gone before is that thought which is expressed way back in the second chapter of the epistle, where he explains how those who were once far off have been brought near, or have been made near, by the blood of Christ. It has taken, as I say, some time to establish the setting. What a torrent of praise, then, of thanksgiving and intercession for the saints comes forth when the apostle bows his knees in prayer. One who confesses the name of Christ does well then to take heart, to take to heart what follows. This is prayer that deals with the things of our salvation. Unlike so many offerings that are called prayer in our time, it is bad enough when the authors of popular prayer books content themselves with current events and world and bodily cares as the subject of their prayers. It is even more lamentable when pastors teach their people, both by precept and example, to offer so-called prayers from the heart that somehow only dwell on trivial matters, the needs of this body and this life. Your greatest need and your greatest gift from God is redemption, forgiveness, life, and salvation. St. Paul moves toward a great doxology in his words. And as he moves, his prayer is that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. What does all that mean? Are these empty words? Is this something about bodybuilding? Is it about positive thinking? No, it is about victory over sin, the worst grief, death, hell, and damnation, through the propitiatory sufferings of and death of Christ. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The 4th century church father, Cyril of Jerusalem, speaks aptly in his catechetical lectures of God the Father as he expounds this verse from Ephesians chapter 3 in connection with his exposition also of the first article, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty." He writes these words, "For the name of the Father, with the very utterance of the title, suggests the thought of the Son. As in like manner, one who names the Son thinks straightway of the Father also. For if a father, he is certainly the father of a son, and if a son, certainly the son of a father." The word father is properly used of a child. A child-father relationship, a child that has been begotten. And only then is it used in its proper sense. The word father also has many uses in its, what we might call its improper sense, as when one speaks of the father of the country, fathers in the faith, and so forth. And so it is used in an improper sense. Linguistically speaking, of our being begotten in the faith, as Malachi writes, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Malachi is not speaking of a bland, general, sectarian fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man, but he is speaking of the same thing the Apostle Paul speaks of when Paul speaks about being begotten through the gospel. So also Cyril concludes, God is in an improper sense the father of many, indeed of all of us who are believers. But by nature and in truth, he is the father of only one, the only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We must not imagine that God the Father is only the creator of heaven and earth, while the really important work of our salvation, our redemption, belongs to Christ alone. God the Father is the author of our salvation, for it is he who sent his only begotten Son to die for us. St. Paul, in bowing the knee, is not simply submitting to a greater glory of God. He speaks of the Father in a soteriological context. His prayer is that the Father would grant the Christians at Ephesus and us that according to the riches of his glory we might be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The hymnist Aurelius Prudentius understood this too in his great 5th century hymn of the Father's love begotten. Ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending, he. What sublime words! How can we comprehend them? Indeed, we perceive these mysteries only dimly, through a glass darkly. We search the scriptures, we reflect on them, we confess, we repeat over and over again the wonderful works of God in our prayers, in our confession, in our canticles, and in our hymnody. And so in faith we grasp it and have it all. But to comprehend it, it is above our comprehension. And to what end is all of this? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. It is toward faith that Paul preaches and writes. It is through your God-given faith that you receive every benefit and blessing of salvation, for no payment and no work will avail. God gives both the gifts and the faith to receive them. Through faith in the merits of Christ, the only begotten of the Father, you are filled with the fullness of God, and heaven itself is opened to you. To him indeed As the apostle concludes these thoughts, to him indeed be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.